Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Catherine Morehouse. President Joe Biden's EPA just took a big step forward in its environmental justice agenda. What the agency did is it issued new rules that would force hundreds of chemical plants across the country to reduce the cancer-causing chemicals that they emit into the air. Those chemical plants and their toxic emissions are often located near communities of color or low-income communities. And reducing the pollution and health impacts on those communities has been a major pillar of Biden's climate agenda. But we are expecting to see pushback to these rules from industry, including likely legal challenges. So today, I spoke with Politico's Alex Guillen to understand more about how this rule fits into Biden's broader EJ agenda, as well as the likely opposition it faces. It's Monday, April 15th.
So this rule requires a couple hundred chemical plants around the U.S., although a lot of them are located in Louisiana and Texas, to go ahead and reduce their emissions of a chemical called ethylene oxide. Ethylene oxide is used by the chemical industry basically as a feedstock to make other products and chemicals. So what's happening, though, is that small amounts of this chemical, they leak out from the plants from when they're doing stuff, and they go into the surrounding communities. You can't smell it, you can't see it, but unfortunately, it's very, very carcinogenic, meaning it causes cancer. Even small amounts that are leaking into communities are causing major cancer risks. So this rule requires a very significant cut in emissions, about 80% from these chemical plants of their current ethylene oxide sort of emissions. This comes, by the way, on the heel of EPA issuing a rule a couple of weeks ago that will require commercial sterilizers to reduce ethylene oxide emissions. So there are companies that use ethylene oxide to sterilize medical equipment and spices, actually. And EPA a few weeks ago required them to make similar cuts. Altogether, the two rules are going to reduce nationwide ETO emissions by about 80%. One other part of this rule to note is that it also targets a chemical called chloroprene, and that's used as a feedstock chemical to make a product called neoprene, which a lot of people may have heard of. It's a type of synthetic rubber that's used in lots of different products, from auto parts to cell phone covers to scuba suits. And so the EPA is requiring plants that make neoprene, and there's only one plant in the U.S. that makes neoprene, to reduce their chloroprene emissions. So overall, this is a major part of the environmental justice agenda and helps fulfill one of President Biden's big promises on the environment.
Can you break down the potential impacts of this rule a little bit more, including the estimated costs, how much this rule will cost to implement, as well as the potential health benefits from this rule?
Yeah, so EPA Administrator Michael Regan said that this rule will reduce the cancer risk for people living near these plants by 96%. So that's a pretty steep drop off for those people, and it has been celebrated by people who live near these plants. It does come with a pretty big price tag. There's some upfront capital costs of $522 million, which is, you know, needed to install the equipment and pollution controls necessary to comply with the rule. And then it'll cost another $194 million annually to operate all that. But it does come with some serious benefits. EPA did not put a dollar figure on the health benefits from the reduced cancer risk because it's a very complex thing to figure out. But it obviously comes with health benefits. EPA was able to monetize some of the other benefits of this rule, including some significant benefits from reductions in smog that will happen because of it. That is partially offset, though, because these pollution controls basically use electricity to run, and that's going to have a relatively noticeable increase in climate emissions. So there's some unusual offsets on each side of the ledger on this rule for EPA. But overall, the agency and the administration are very much touting it as a win for people who live near these communities, who tend to be communities of low income and communities of color.
Yeah, and I do want to talk a bit more about the environmental justice impacts. Could you lay out a bit more how this plays into the Biden administration's wider agenda of lowering the pollution impacts on those communities that you mentioned that have experienced, you know, disproportionate historic impacts of industry and other harmful practices, as well as how this plays into the Biden administration's cancer moonshot efforts?
Yeah, ethylene oxide became a big environmental justice issue a few years ago, back, I think, really during the Trump administration. EJ is such a difficult issue sometimes because there are a lot of people who are affected in some way by localized pollution issues, but it's very hard to address all of those when you're running EPA and a federal government on a national scale, and you're also addressing nationwide air quality issues and planet-wide climate issues. So being able to latch on to ethylene oxide as an issue has really let the Biden administration focus its environmental justice efforts on something really tangible. It also really dovetails well with the president's Cancer Moonshot initiative. Obviously, a lot of the focus on that is through healthcare and scientific research. But since this is an area where EPA can be taking specific action to reduce instances of cancer, it goes well with that agenda as well.
And we know that some of these rules that are really ambitious and very costly, as you laid out, they don't always face a smooth path forward. They tend to see a lot of legal challenges. So can we expect those kinds of legal challenges here? And do you have any insight into how legally durable this rule is and how it could potentially stand up to potential lawsuits?
Yeah, we're definitely going to see legal challenges. I haven't heard anything specific yet from the American Chemistry Council, which is the chemical industry's main trade group here in Washington. They wanted to take some time to review the rule and its many details before they come to an agreement, but they definitely raised a lot of concerns about the proposal. And with the final, they said that they are concerned that, you know, if they have to shut down plants to install this equipment and such, that's going to frustrate supply chain issues across the U.S. because a lot of chemicals are not going to get made, at least for a time being. I will say there has been a threat issued by a company called Denka. I mentioned earlier, there's only one plant in the U.S. that makes neoprene. It's owned by Denka, and they've actually been battling the Biden administration on this for a couple of years now. They have been arguing that the administration is using too strict a health risk standard for chloroprene. And a lot of people have argued that about ethylene oxide as well. But Denka is especially on it, especially because the Biden administration is suing them in sort of a novel enforcement action in an effort to get the company to reduce its chloroprene emissions. This rule sort of builds on that a bit. It sets regulatory requirements that hadn't necessarily been there before. So overall, I think it's tough to judge the legal durability of these rules. These are new actions. We'll have to see how they play out. But a lot of it is going to come down to some pretty thick scientific issues regarding cancer risk from these chemicals, from these gases. So that's going to play out over the coming years for sure.
Also, the Interior Department released a final rule that increases how much money it charges companies to produce oil and gas on federal land. This marks the first time in decades the agency has raised those costs. The regulation also changes how Interior manages the roughly 700 million acres it and other federal agencies oversee, and it increases the costs of cleaning up abandoned projects. The rule is the latest attempt by the Biden administration to prevent possible repeal if Donald Trump retakes the White House this fall, and if Republicans win both chambers in Congress. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Catherine Morehouse, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.